Pinkerton football news. Welcome to the Golden Black Radio pregame show as we get you set for Saturday's kickoff. Now here's your host, Kyle Chartus.
The Boilermakers back in action against Nebraska on Saturday, 2 months after this game was originally scheduled to be played and in a different location, Purdue hosting Nebraska on Saturday. Kyle Chartus along with Tom Deanhart. We'll bring in Brian Newbert and Alan Karpik as well for the Golden Black Radio pregame show. Tom, this game we thought was going to be played long ago, had everything played out this season the way we anticipated it would. It did not, however, and now Purdue and Nebraska will play each other this weekend.
Yeah, supposed to be the season opener way back when. Hard to even remember that time, isn't it? But here we are, early December. The Cornhuskers are in West Lafayette instead of the Boilermakers being in Lincoln. And Kyle, this is a big game for both these programs. Neither's trending in the right direction. Each is desperate for a victory. Again, it's going to be fascinating to see, which players can stay dialed in. Because as you know, Kyle, these are crazy times. And if programs are losing games, sometimes it's really hard to keep those players motivated and hungry.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And both these teams being sub 500 at this point, you have to wonder, you know, no fans in the stands, players opting out for both teams, not a whole lot to play for other than pride and you know, maybe the carrot of a bowl game in another month or so. We'll see what comes of all those. But you're right, motivation is a big key. Purdue, you know, coming off now consecutive losses, how do you think the Boilermakers will respond?
You know, it's going to be interesting to see the five games this year, I think, have been decided by 28 total points. So the theme all year has been Purdue's played a lot of close games, hasn't been able to close the deal for one reason or another on these last three in a row. Both sides of the ball, I think, you know, defensively, that's been a big focus of a lot of people's conversations of late. A few areas, of course, Purdue's inability to get after the quarterback, just one sack in the last three games. The inability to get takeaways, just one takeaway the last three games as well. And, of course, getting off the field on third down. So that's going to be a big focus for the defense. If they can accomplish some of those three things on Saturday, that certainly will help, Kyle. And then offensively, I think, you know, it's a common theme that we've heard mentioned weekly too, is can they run the football? If they can, I think we all know that opens up that offense for Purdue and makes Jack Plummer and everybody that much more effective, obviously.
There are very few games, Tom, that I have watched that you very clearly, in one quarter of football, the fourth quarter last week, see all three phases of a football team break down, right? I mean, the kickoff return, which I guess might have been in the third quarter, but the point being all three right there almost immediately fall apart for Purdue that lead to a loss. I mean, that's a little disheartening to have everything break down on you.
It is, and, you know, you bring up special teams, and I guess that really was the difference last week, the 100-yard kickoff return, so dispiriting, so crushing, to give up an easy score like that to Rutgers, and Purdue never was really the same after that, Kyle. Of course, Plummer threw the interception, and that fourth quarter was amazing to witness. Kyle, Rutgers had the ball over 13 minutes, but again, it all goes back to that special teams gaffe, And Kyle, the punting continues to be problematic as well. A lot of inconsistency there. And then, you know, the week before was the field goal kicking, right? They get one block. They miss a 33-yarder as well in what was a three-point game. So they've really got to get those special teams buttoned up here down the stretch too.
So Jeff Brohm's in his fourth season at Purdue, Scott Frost in his third season at Nebraska. I think when we look back and see both those guys taking over the programs, I think we thought they would have both been farther along right now than they are, right? I mean, and farther along to the point where competing for the Big Ten West, or at least in the upper half of the Big Ten West and sort of part of the story later in the season, it has not turned out to be that way. And for Nebraska, that's pretty frustrating for those group of fans.
Yeah, boy, the expectations there obviously are always out of sight. Maybe the expectations are too big for that fan base, but again, too much is given, much is expected, and Frost has not delivered, like you said. Now, he doesn't have a bowl bid yet, and it may not happen this year too. I think for those Nebraska fans, it's just aggravating to see their offense continue to flounder around. I don't know if there really is an identity to that Nebraska offense. And boy, this year it's been more of the same, Kyle. They're playing two quarterbacks, not getting much production from the running backs. The wide receivers are largely pedestrian. So again, here we are, like you said, year three for Scott Frost, the chosen one, you know, a native son. And his side of the ball in particular has continued to struggle. So yeah, boy, I know there's, like I said, a big sense of urgency for both these programs, but you feel like that urgency is always greater at a place like Nebraska with all that history and all those national championships.
We've got some guys banged up, of course. We won't see George Karloftis again this weekend, but maybe the biggest absentee will not be a COVID-related or injury-related. It will be suspension-related. Derek Barnes will miss the first half of this game. Man, boy, was he good in the first half plus last week. An unfortunate, and it really hurts Purdue's defense that he won't be out there.
Yeah, he's been good all year. I always like calling guys that are playing like Derek Barnes, that they're playing like their hair is on fire. And then that's Derek Barnes from sideline to sideline. Number 55 has been a blur. And we saw that again Saturday. And like you said, Kyle, unfortunate not to have his presence on the field for those first two quarters, because I'll be honest with you, my friend, I think if Purdue gets hit with some adversity early by Nebraska, if they get themselves dug into a hole, give up some big plays for touchdowns, you know, the psyche of Purdue may be such that they have a hard time bouncing back from it. And not having Derek Barnes out there certainly makes that Purdue defense more vulnerable.
Much to go on the show. Tom will talk to Sean Callahan from Nebraska Rivals here in just a couple of moments, get the Cornhuskers' perspective of things. We'll get Brian Ubert's perspective as well. We'll talk to Alan Karpik about the Big Ten and an historical view of Purdue and Nebraska. But Tom's conversation with Sean coming up next after this weather update from WLFI.
Hey there, Kyle. Our quiet weather pattern here in Greater Lafayette through most of the week will spill over into the weekend. After a mostly cloudy start to Saturday, those clouds look to break apart just in time for the noon kickoff at Rossade. Temperatures by late morning will remain on the chilly side in the mid-30s, thanks to a dry cold front that passed through the day before. During the afternoon, temperatures will slowly climb into the lower 40s, and with our light northwest wind flow under a partly cloudy sky.
Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. This podcast is brought to you in part by JFQ Lending. With interest rates below 3%, there has never been a better time to lock in a low fixed interest rate on your mortgage. You'll never need to think about refinancing again. Sit it and forget it. And with JFQ Lending, you're guaranteed to get the highest level of customer service. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and more than 3,000 five-star reviews. Give Kyler Compliment a call today at 323-607-8802 or email Kyler directly at kcoppelman, that's KKOPPELMAN, at jfqlending.com. JFQ Lending Incorporated, equal access lender, licensed in more than 40 states, www.jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard-to-shop and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
It's time to break it down as we go in-depth about Purdue's opponent.
All right, pleased to be joined by one of the best in the business, a guy I've known for a long time now, over 10 years, I think, Sean Callahan, Husker Online, the definitive source for everything Nebraska football, basketball related. Sean, thank you very much for joining me, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Tom. Looking forward to West Lafayette, and the way the schedule looks, we might be going there 3 years in a row. I don't know if they'll change that next year, but we'll be one of the rare Big Ten teams to make a trip 3 years in a row.
Lucky you get some more Bruno's pizza, right?
Yeah, Bruno's Pizza. Get the dough. And there's some good spots in West Lafayette. I know my way around there now.
There's no Haymarket, but yeah, it does have its spots if you know your way around town a little bit. And Sean, you know, big game, sadly, boy, two programs in dire need to taste success, sip from that cup of victory, Sean. And from a Husker front, offensively, sort of give our fans an idea of what to expect when the Big Red roll into town and take the field on offense.
Well, it really starts with their quarterback. When you look at Adrian Martinez and Luke McCaffrey, and Adrian will start. I mean, he was 18 to 20 last week at Iowa. Did a lot of things well. The turnover at the end really wasn't his fault. It was a protection breakdown. But he's the better passer. McCaffrey is kind of the better runner. When you break it down, he's explosive. And he looks like a McCaffrey. He looks like his brother running with the football. So they'll get him on the field and use him probably as like a change of pace guy. But about half their rushing production, over half their rushing first downs will come from quarterbacks. And their running back position is kind of a mess right now. Dedrick Mills has been out since the first quarter of the Penn State game. We haven't seen him in several weeks. Last week, Marvin Scott got knocked out of the game. And Scott Frost said that on his TV show today. I didn't realize that on Saturday or Friday at Iowa. But Marvin Scott started that game. He was out. Ronald Tompkins didn't travel. He was the number two. So Ramir Johnson got a lot more carries and looks. Not a ton, but they'll use Wandell Robinson kind of as a running back option back there. Their receiver position has been very, very hard to figure out, Tom. Other than Wandell Robinson, it's just been a hodgepodge of the flavor of the week. And I think Oliver Martin, the former Michigan and Iowa transfer, he started last week. He'll be out there with Wandell. Xavier Betts, the talented Rivals 100 true freshman, he is going to keep playing more. Those are primarily the guys. You'll see Cade Warner and Levi Falk out there too, both former walk-on guys, and Falk still a walk-on. But I think Martin, Betts, and obviously Wandell are going to be the featured pieces. And then they'll use their tight ends a lot too. Austin Allen's a very good 6'9" tight end. Travis Volklik's a solid tight end, Jack Stoll. So they'll actually incorporate the tight end in the throwing game quite a bit.
Now, defensively, Sean, sort of break down that side of the ball and tell the Boilermaker fans what to expect from that Nebraska defense.
You know, Nebraska on defense is better up front than they have been. They still can't get to quarterbacks at a high rate, especially the four-man rush. But they've also played really good offensive lines in this conference so far. They've played Iowa. They've played Ohio State. They've played Northwestern. Penn State has a good veteran line. They haven't played, you know, very many green lines. So I'll be curious. I don't know what Purdue is up front in terms of experience. But Nebraska has seen some very good lines in the Big Ten. And they have not gotten there with the four-man rush all that often. But against Iowa, they held them to under 3 yards to carry running the ball. In the first half, Iowa had less than 50 yards rushing. So they won the battle up front against Iowa. They really shut down kind of that stretch run play a lot of the day. At the end of the game, they got a few more of those to work with Sargent. But that was impressive. JoJo Doman, to me, though, is the featured piece on the defense. He plays outside linebacker, and they move him to nickel. He's a former safety. But he is a hell of an outside linebacker, having a great season. Probably the best guy on the defense. Ben Stille, a defensive end, is having a very solid season as well. So those are probably the featured guys right now when you look at Nebraska on defense.
Okay, Sean, last question, and it's a big one, buddy. How do you see this game unfolding when it kicks off high noon Eastern time on Saturday in Ross 8 Stadium?
It's a kind of a combination of two grease fires right now, and who's going to get their – grease fire figured out this week. I think Nebraska, though, Tom, they took a step forward in Iowa last week, and they had the ball with a chance to win. They lost to Northwestern, obviously, by 8, but that was the game. They could have been up 16-7. They missed a field goal. So they've played with some pretty good teams. That Illinois game, I think, throws everyone for a loop. The way they played against Illinois, they can't have that happen again. But I think Nebraska figures out a way to win in West Lafayette. I think Purdue losing to Rutgers and a third string quarterback, I just don't know how they recover from that. Where I do think Nebraska left Iowa City pretty angry, and they were adamant that they want to keep playing and win these last two games against Purdue and Minnesota, and then wherever the mysterious week nine will take us.
It's going to be very fascinating, Sean. Like you said, a big sense of urgency for both of these programs wanting to finish this season with a taste of success. Hey, we appreciate you dropping some knowledge on us, buddy. Thank you very much, Sean.
Thank you very much, Tom. Appreciate it.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa, not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
If you're looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, or the surrounding counties, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Purdue football is back, and it's time to put your best game face on. Nobody has a better selection of Purdue apparel in stock than Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey, or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike Sideline Gear, Tommy Bahama, Peter Millar, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Show your team spirit for the most anticipated season in years. Shop online at FollettsPurdue.com. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945.
Broadcasting from Golden Black World Headquarters, north of Purdue's campus, this is the Golden Black Radio Pregame Show.
Let's bring in Brian Newbert, get his perspective of the Boilermakers and the Cornhuskers. Brian, Purdue coming down to the last few games of the season. I don't think this will necessarily be something that is confined just to the Boilermakers or even to the Cornhuskers, but I think there's a chance here as we sort of play out this season that winners and losers might be decided by how into it a team is or out of it a team is perhaps in these games, right? I mean, it just seems to me that some teams could coast. I'm not necessarily saying that'll be Purdue. I don't know. But it seems like it would be easy for some teams to fall into that category.
Yeah, I think that would have been easy, period, this season, because so much is going on in the world and so much went into just getting to this point. And from a Big Ten perspective, you didn't have a season for a month, you know, and I'm sure emotions ran wild, all that stuff. So I think that was kind of like a larger theme of the entire season. Which team is more into it? Which team is more dialed in? Which team is more focused? Which team is more immune to distractions? But now that, you know, a few teams that have struggled, Purdue included here the last 3 weeks, that maybe amplifies it even more is, you know, you have this extremely complicated season anyway that might feel at points in time like it's just not going your way. And how engaged do you remain? And how I've got all these cliches, how dialed in do you remain? how hard do you keep playing? You know, things like that. That stuff really matters. It could come down to put it mildly and put it bluntly, who's the less disengaged?
Yeah.
You know, might win these games. You see that a lot in college sports, especially college basketball. Who's the less screwed up wins the game. But, you know, that might be something that plays into these results down the stretches. Who is the less disengaged?
Yeah. Not to turn to basketball, but like the Purdue-Oakland game. Not that Oakland would have won that game, but they're playing their fifth game in 7 days.
Correct.
Like you tend
and
to maybe
Purdue
to
is down two really important pieces. So it's kind of one of those deals where there's a lot of circumstances on both sides.
So it's on assistant coaches. Assistant coaches probably more than head coaches because they're closer to the guys to sort of, you know, try to keep your team as in tune to playing and trying to win as possible. Does that seem likely?
Well, I think it has to come from everybody. It has to come from the players. It has to come from the coaches. You know, I listened to Jeff Brohm's radio show yesterday evening, and there was kind of a little bit of an ominous tone set in the sense that he talked repeatedly about his team's confidence not being where it needs to be. And that's never a good thing when, you know, that's being said in the public sphere. He mentions an anecdote about playing with Steve Young in the NFL where the moral of the story was basically the 49ers coaches would draw up a play or something like that. And the players understood that no matter what that play was, they had to go out and make and quote, make it work, which, you know, I kind of wondered what he was driving at there. But it seems like Purdue has some circumstances here. It seems like, you know, Purdue, I don't like the way the defense has played the last couple of weeks. It doesn't look like that is, you know, necessarily working. I thought earlier in the season they were playing harder. I think they were playing more aggressive, and obviously they were better. I think the last couple of weeks they have been, you know, they've really struggled. And I don't know what all goes into that, but it's not a positive trend. So I don't know if this is a matter of effort, this is a matter of confidence, this is a matter of what. But obviously Purdue has some circumstances going on right now, and everybody's got to be part of the solution. But it starts with the players, but the coaches obviously have to be part of it too.
Yeah, defense more than anything in football, it seems like, is an effort and, you know, being into it type position. I mean, you have to sort of want to put your body on the line and go out there and hit somebody. And maybe the one guy – for Purdue that was really doing it, mm-hmm. really, really doing it, won't be out there in the first half on Saturday.
Correct. Obviously, Derek Barnes is having a great season, and he's playing his tail off. And, you know, one of your other energy guys on his defense is George Karlaftis, and he's out too. And that's quite a double whammy there you have for the first half of this Nebraska game. But as I said, guys got to figure it out. I mean, guys have to, you know, not to point all the fingers at the players necessarily, but, you know, it's, you know, personal pride. It's wanting to win. It's all of that stuff. And it's got to come from somewhere. Now, the team on the other side of the line of scrimmage in this game is, you know, in a little bit of the same boat because Nebraska has lost the ability to win over the last 5 years. And it's got to be driving them crazy, but they're just stuck where they have been for the better part of, you know, this kind of modern era, certainly ever since they got in the Big Ten.
This is not a Purdue-specific question because I don't think Jeff Brohm is in any danger at all. But we started the season thinking that, at least I did, that no coach would get fired from the Big Ten and that there might be very few nationally. What do you think about that now? Do you think there's an opportunity, you know, for there to be a change at Michigan? I think it's less likely at Illinois, my feeling. Obviously, nationally, there's going to be a couple of changes, it seems like. But I would have thought we would have seen very, very little, if any. And it seems like maybe we're going to see a little more than that.
Yeah, I thought that way, too, initially. Just because of the money involved.
Yeah.
But I think I was being naive to the reality of, you know, of college football and just how important this is to people and how important it is to get the wrong guy out the door when the fan base perceives him as the wrong guy or the results tell you he is the wrong guy. And this is a multi-million dollar enterprise here they're all engaged in. And at some point in time, you know, the world's going to go back to normal and all of these schools are going to need all of those people back in their stadiums. They're going to need all of those people buying t-shirts. They're going to need all of those people making donations. You still got to keep the fans happy. You still got to keep the fans willing to spend their money when that day does come back in time. So you saw at South Carolina, you saw at Vanderbilt, you've seen a couple other places here that pandemic or not, we're not, you know, sticking with a guy that we don't think is our guy and our fans don't think is our guy. So yeah, schools are going to find a way to pay those buyouts because it's just, you have to nowadays, you have to keep everyone happy. And if that means getting rid of a coach who's not winning, that's happening, pandemic or not. So, you know, I don't know about Jim Harbaugh. That's a big number attached to his name, I'm sure. But I could see that being a situation where he is gotten rid of. I'm trying to think of who else in the Big Ten. Lovie Smith, I think his days are going to be numbered, whether that's this year or next. I don't know. There's somebody else. Who's the other one I'd be thinking of?
I don't think there's anybody else, is there?
Loxley's got time, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Harbaugh is obviously the big one.
I mean, unless you think Penn Frost. State would do. And I don't Frost think, and, you know, Penn State's not going to do anything.
I don't think Penn State would move on Franklin this quick. I think he'd get – I think next year would be really big for him. Frost, obviously, you know, is on the clock, yeah. Whether he's an alum or not, whether he's a Nebraska legend or not. I mean, his collateral is slipping through his fingers like water. And it's going to be a very big year for him next year. It's going to be a very big year for James Franklin next year as well. But Harbaugh would be the one who just got to go. I mean, yeah. It's just, that's just not working. And you can't be the way he is and not win. And that's just a bad situation at Michigan.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Alan Karpik to talk a little bit of Big Ten and historical look at Purdue and Nebraska. That's next on Golden Black Radio.
Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. This podcast is brought to you in part by JFQ Lending. With interest rates below 3%, there has never been a better time to lock in a low fixed interest rate on your mortgage. You'll never need to think about refinancing again. Sit it and forget it. And with JFQ Lending, you're guaranteed to get the highest level of customer service. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and more than 3,000 five-star reviews. Give Kyler Compliment a call today at 323-607-8802 or email Kyler directly at kkoppelman, that's K-K-O-P-P-E-L-M-A-N, at jfqlending.com. JFQ Lending Incorporated, Equal Access Lender, licensed in more than 40 states, www.jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard-to-shop and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
What else is going on around the league? Let's take a look. It's the Big Ten Roundup.
Let's bring in Alan Karpik to get a look at the Big Ten. A couple of games already canceled for this week, but five still on the slate, of course, including Purdue and Nebraska. Let's talk about three of the four others, and start off with the noon kickoff, Alan, on Saturday between number 4 Ohio State and Michigan State. The Buckeyes, as you might imagine, a heavy favorite in this one. The big storyline for Ohio State, though, is just simply the need to be able to play due to the Big Ten setting a minimum standard on number of games played to be eligible for the title game. The Buckeyes need to play both this weekend and next. The game that's in jeopardy is that Michigan game next weekend, but it does look like Ohio State will play on Saturday, at least as of right now.
Yeah, and that's the world we're living in, isn't it? It's amazing that we're even talking about this. And yet, you know, Ohio State, does it really matter if Ohio State doesn't play six Big Ten games and doesn't play in the Big Ten championship game? I suppose it does in the trophy case, but I'm not sure it really matters for the Buckeyes. They can make the college football playoff with a 5-0 record, which is nutty, but everything is crazy this year. It's important. Obviously, they get their game in against a Michigan State team. Who would have thought that they would have done what they did to Northwestern This is a very, I don't see this game being close. I can't imagine it being close. Northwestern and Michigan, Ohio State are far different football teams offensively, but anything's possible in this world, and Ohio State just needs to play the next 2 weeks and get to Indianapolis and do its job, and then it will solidify its spot, I think, in the college football playoff.
Not that the Big Ten is deserving of not having a black eye, but it would be a pretty big black eye on the Big Ten if Ohio State and Wisconsin play in the, quote, second place game, crossover game. And those two teams are the best two teams in the West and the East, right? I mean, good for the – I mean, if you're of the opinion that the Big Ten totally screwed all of this up, then, you know, maybe you feel like it deserves the black eye of having your two best teams playing the second-place game.
Well, in Wisconsin, I suppose so. I mean, the Badgers obviously did not play well but against – Northwestern, but their game has been their season has been so messed up that it's just hard to evaluate. I would tend to agree they probably are the best two teams. I mean, obviously Ohio State is, and I would tend to agree with Wisconsin, Northwestern game notwithstanding. So it will tell you a little bit though, and I know it's another game we're gonna look at, Wisconsin, Indiana, how well that Wisconsin takes care of the Hoosiers. And the Hoosiers obviously dealing with that horrible injury, certainly, and at quarterback, and that is going to make a huge, huge difference, one would think, for Indiana when they travel to Madison.
Yeah, let's talk about that game at 3:30 kick. Wisconsin's a 2-touchdown favorite. Jack Tuttle is the backup quarterback. I mean, he was a highly regarded guy when he was being recruited by Utah before his transfer over to Indiana. We'll see how he plays. That's not an easy place to go generally up to Madison, though with no fans, maybe it's a little bit easier. But yeah, this game has the feel that Wisconsin should be able to take care of business. But Indiana's still got a lot to play for, with the possibility of sort of backdooring its way into a Big Ten championship.
Yeah, Tom Allen's done a great job there, and is going to have to deal with the fallout of the quarterback situation. Jack Tuttle's going to have to come in and do the job again. In today's world in sports, anything can happen. And Indiana's had a great year so far. Took Ohio State to the limit, and I expect them to play this game close, maybe closer than that 14, but again, it's just hard to know exactly who's going to show up, and the Hoosiers have to be able to get themselves right mentally after such a catastrophic injury.
Yeah, the best resume builder for Indiana actually was the loss, more so than any of its victories, in my opinion.
Oh, no question on that.
Noon kickoff on Saturday, Penn State travels to Rutgers. We saw the Scarlet Knights last week. Penn State also picked up a victory last week. We're talking about this game only because we don't want to talk about Iowa and Illinois. What do you say? I mean, Rutgers is a team that is playing hard still at this point in the season, which you can't, I don't think, say for everyone. But they are trying, and they're trying to go out there and win. And maybe that gives them an edge against Penn State.
Yeah, it's interesting, again, through what Penn State has been through, with the exception of finally beating Michigan. You know, they're still an 11-point favorite, I believe, in this game. And Rutgers took it to Purdue. I don't think there's any question about that. They took advantage of the second half, took advantage of the breaks they needed to get the job done in West Lafayette. It got my attention. I think Rutgers is decent, and I would expect that game to be a little bit closer than that, and I wouldn't be surprised the Rutgers doesn't beat Penn State, but maybe Penn State's woken up now after that win over Michigan. And, you know, these are teams that Purdue could potentially be playing, Penn State, Michigan, for example, in that crossover game in a couple of weeks, as we'll need to keep our eye on that as we get closer to that time.
Let's look at the Big Ten in week 7.
Let's go back in time. With a historical look, here's Alan Karpik.
All right, Al, let's take a historical look at Purdue and Nebraska. At least those are the two teams playing in Ross-Ade this weekend. And I don't know if I'm sure about what the final score will be, but I feel pretty confident in that the final score will be close, because Purdue plays every game close these days. Everything decided within a possession, and there is some historical aspect to that as well.
Yeah, there is. I mean, right now, Purdue has played 6 one-score games. That's 8 points or fewer as a final score. 6 in a row. Go back to the Indiana game last year that was in overtime. And then, obviously, all 5 games this year. And when you look at that, it's only happened one other time in the history of Purdue football. And not all that old of fans will remember that. 2004, Purdue played 6 straight one-score games from the Penn State win at Penn State when the Boilermakers went to 5-0 and were ranked 5th in the country, to the Ohio State win at home against Jim Tressel to make the Boilermakers bowl eligible. Of course, Purdue lost 4 games right in a row to Wisconsin, Iowa, Northwestern, and of course Michigan in 2004. But you got to go back. That's the only time in the history of the program. There were 5 in a row in 1965 and 1939. But what that says is this is unprecedented. I mean, Jeff Brohm has played coached in 43 games. 23 of them have been one score or fewer. He's only 8-15 in those games. Joe Tiller, as a matter of context, 60 games in his career. He was 30-30. So you got to win the close ones. And Jeff Brohm knows wants to start getting that trend reversed. And you are right, Kyle. This is likely to be another close game this week.
Yeah, I would suspect so. You had to bring up 2004, huh, man? That was.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't call it the – I didn't name the fumble or anything, but I'm trying to help people through that one. But, yeah, that was an unbelievable streak of certainly from that standpoint. And, you get this and you have that. It was made for a very, very interesting time.
That's a historical look with Alan Karpik. Thanks, Al.
All right, thank you.
Back with more on Golden Black Radio.
Purdue football is back, and it's time to put your best game face on. Nobody has a better selection of Purdue apparel in stock than Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey, or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike Sideline Gear, Tommy Bahama, Peter Millar, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Show your team spirit for the most anticipated season in years. Shop online at FollettsPurdue.com. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945.
If you're looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, or the surrounding counties, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Broadcasting from Golden Black World Headquarters, north of Purdue's campus, this is the Golden Black Radio Pregame Show.
Kyle here, back with Tom, talk a little bit of matchups between the Boilermakers and the Cornhuskers. Scott Frost's crew has some quarterback issues. Tom, they can't really decide which guy they want to be under center, because if you watch Nebraska play, neither guy really can throw the football. This is not, I will point this out, this is not 1990s Big 12 NCAA football. You've got to be able to have a quarterback who can throw. Right? I mean, that was sort of the missing ingredient here for Scott Frost as he came back into this part of the country and the Big Ten. You got to be able to throw the football. They don't have a quarterback who can throw the football. How can Purdue take advantage of that on Saturday?
Yeah, that's an indictment, again, of the lack of development of a guy like Taylor Martinez in particular. You know, I think, you know, like you said, from a matchup standpoint, if you're that Purdue defense, you gotta you know, get that extra man in the box, contain the quarterback run, which Nebraska's going to do with Martinez and Luke McCaffrey. And like you pointed out, Kyle, make those guys try to throw the football to beat you. And I don't think they can. And so I think that's the MO, and that's got to be the strategy that the Purdue defense employs, again, is committing an extra man to slowing down those Husker running quarterbacks, and like I said, making them try to throw those footballs to try to beat you.
Here's what I want to see, Tom. I want to see Purdue continue to be aggressive on offense and stick to the game plan. Whatever the game plan was to start the game, let's use that game plan in the second half and the fourth quarter. Purdue made a conscious effort last week to run the football early, right? I mean, didn't you feel like, heck, in the first quarter, Purdue only got the ball to Rondell Moore and David Bell combined 2 touches. They were so intent on running the football. And they ran with success against Rutgers. And then in the second half, went away. Just blew out of the stadium, basically. So I want to see here Purdue be aggressive in the same style in the second half that it is in the first half. And if I see that, then I'll be happy with what Purdue did on Saturday.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, Kyle. And to your point, the first half, I think they had 142 yards rushing, which that in and of itself was a season high for an entire game for Purdue. And they had a 10-point lead, I think, at halftime too, right? So you got to give Xander Horvath a steady diet of catches and also runs. I think King DeRouche looked more like the King Drew of 2019. So Purdue's got a nice little 1-2 punch back at running back. And again, then you got the wide receivers, right? And then Payne Durham continues to emerge a tight end. So I guess my point is there's a lot of weapons for this Purdue offense to be varied. But I still think, you know, you got to make Nebraska respect your run. You don't have to run for 200 yards, but you got to make them respect that run. And if you can, Kyle, we all know how I think that would really open up that pass game for Purdue to Moore and Bell.
So about an hour and 15 minutes before every game, Tom, you take an inventory of who's out there on the field, mainly looking for injury situations. I get the impression you might be eyeing that field a little bit more this week, right? I mean, we know that Jared Sparks has opted out. We know that Ahmad Anderson Jr. has jumped himself into the transfer portal. There's a chance that others could have opted out as well, right? Because sort of like what you alluded to off the top of the podcast, you know, the season hasn't gone exactly right. You got the pandemic issues. You're playing in front of empty stadiums. You just never know if a guy's going to decide not to play, right? So you'll be keeping an eye to the field.
Yeah, no doubt. Like you said, all those factors could lead to maybe some guys having chosen to sit out the rest of the year. The COVID numbers, of course, continue to get worse across the country, in the Midwest included. That could be a concern. So, yeah, we'll have to see if maybe Purdue's roster is still as robust as it was the last week or two. We do know Marvin Grant will play, Kyle. He didn't play last week. Jeff Brohm and Anthony Poindexter spoke this week. And, yeah, Grant will be on the field, which will be a big boost to that defense as well. So, it's going to be interesting, like I said, to see how Purdue lines up and who's on the field on Saturday.
I like that Grant too, man. When he figures it out, he's going to be a really good player. All right, prediction time. This is a
man.
Who knows, right? I mean, I literally think I've been wrong every week this year.
Join the club
with everything. I mean, my media mania numbers are atrocious.
Yeah, I'm just saying. That's why for me, betting so gambling is always a bad proposition. God, Kyle, this game is such a wild card. I mean, you know, Purdue, I think, is a 1-point favorite last I checked. And I guess I'll stick with that. I think the Boilers will find a way to squeak this thing out. It may be by just 1 point, Kyle. And you know what? It may be from the toe of J.D. Dellinger, a chance for him to redeem himself from his tough night at Minnesota a few weeks ago. Maybe Dellinger can deliver what would be, I think, his third game-winning field goal of his career. So it's going to be a nip and tuck affair, I think. And again, it's going to come down to probably special teams and who turns over the ball the fewest times.
Yeah, Purdue's defense has got to be able to turn these guys over. I mean, try to make it so whatever quarterback is playing for Nebraska has to throw it. Sometimes either one of those guys is accurate enough to even throw interceptions, which is a problem. I mean, if you're throwing the ball out of bounds, it's hard for the defense to pick it off. I'm similar to your thinking, though. I think it's close. I'm gonna take Purdue 33-30. Maybe Dellinger hits one at the end there to give Purdue the victory. I just don't see this Purdue team losing four in a row, but I don't know. It's weird. I'll take Purdue squeaking one out.
Yeah, like you said, four in a row would be tough, especially, Kyle, when you consider you got to go to Indiana the week after this to play the Hoosiers in the bucket battle. I know Michael Penix is hurt, but we all know the type of year Indiana is having, so you'd like to have a little bit of momentum on your side when you're heading down to Bloomington.
All right, that'll do it for our show. Thank you, Tom. Thanks to our sponsors as well. Be sure to listen to the podcast on Monday again as we recap the weekend. Thanks to Tom Dienhar, Brian Newbert, and Alan Karpik. I'm Kyle Chartners. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.